Well, we're going to let the young ones go for a little bit, and we're going to the larger catechism tonight to consider the new section on the law of God applied to all of our lives. We're going to begin with number 91. So if you have a shorter catechism, you can turn to number 39 and number 40. And that's what we're doing. The larger catechism is exactly the same on these two. Number 39, and then we'll do 40 in just a little bit. If you have the big book, it's number 91 in the larger catechism, and it's number 39 in the shorter catechism. Exactly the same. So, what is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. Now, here we are. Duty. A man was once coming home from a church service a little earlier than normal. And his wife, when he got home, asked him, she said, "Is it all done?" And he said, "No, it's all said, but it's not all done. Now that it's all said, I've got to be doing what was said." And that is our duty, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word, and we are blessed in our deeds. Now, duty. What is our duty? If you look at the scriptures in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we haven't got that far yet in our study in Romans, but Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, very well-known verses. The Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our duty includes our thoughts, we know, our words, our actions, but our duty also includes our feelings, our emotions. We owe God our love and our gratitude. That is a part of our duty. Expressing from our hearts, it doesn't have to be in words. It's good to put it into words, but to express, even through our feelings, our love and our gratitude to Him. So our duty includes all of these things. The reason that we owe everything to God is because of what we started with tonight in Psalm 95. Let us bow before our Maker. He is our Maker. And we owe everything to God because He's our Creator and we are His creatures. This is the case of all people. But you know, for Christians, it's even a double obligation. We are not just His creatures, but the Lord has redeemed us from sin and hell. And so we have duty to Him, not only because we're the creatures of His hand, but because He has redeemed us by His blood. Now, the Bible does not begin with duty. The Bible does not begin with law. What does the Bible begin with? It begins with God. In the beginning, God. God created. So, there are some groups that do not believe we have any duty to God. You know, the atheist believes we don't owe God anything because God doesn't exist. The pantheist doesn't believe that we have any duties to God because we are a part of their God. According to the pantheist idea, it is that everything massed together forms God. So we don't owe anything to God any more than we owe anything to ourselves. But then what about the humanist? There's a lot of humanism in the world today. There has been for a long time. But humanists believe that our highest obligation is to the human race. That's our highest obligation and duty, is to the human race. This is idolatry. Romans chapter 1 verse 25 shows that is worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, we can serve God by serving others, yes, but only if we are doing it for the Lord's sake and for His glory. Just to be saying that our chief duty is to serve humanity, that's making humanity an idol. But if we're serving God, if we're endeavoring to do all that we do for the glory of God, for His name's sake, then we can serve God by serving others. Now, no one has the right to refuse their duty to God. To refuse our duty to God is a rebellion against Him. God is sovereign. He is total. He is absolute and unchanging in His authority over all of His creatures. So we're going to do this one more time. Number 39 in the shorter catechism. Number 91. Oh yeah, Joshua, you want to pass some of these catechisms out? If anybody needs a catechism, we will do that again. Number 39 in the shorter catechism. Number 91 in the larger catechism. And we're finished with this one. But we're going to go on to number 40. In the shorter catechism, and 92 in the larger. So if you have the shorter, it is number 39. Let's review that one more time. What is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to His revealed will. And we're going to think a little more about where His revealed will is. And what His revealed will is as we go to number 40 or number 92 in the larger. Let's do that one. Number 40, what did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? The rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. Now there it is. And you may think, well, I don't see that. Well, let's think about this very carefully. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, Genesis 2:17, the Lord told Adam and Eve, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. There's a clear command. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's the consequence. If they do not obey the command. Now this command formed the condition of the covenant of works. As long as they obeyed, all was well, and they lived. And had they passed the probationary period, all would be well on earth today, and everybody would be happy. Because involved in this command was the duty to love and to obey the one who gave the command. That is God. That He have the preeminence, that He have first place, that we give our allegiance to Him, to love and obey God above everything and above everyone else, even self. This was the first revelation of the moral law. Now, what is the moral law? The moral law is summarily comprised in the Ten Commandments. But you take the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments directly have to do with our relationship to God. And then the last six, our relationship to man. Now you think about this. In this command that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the responsibility was very clear there. It was moral law to love and obey God above all else. But it was also the command to love God by loving the other person and encourage the neighbor to do the same in loving God. And that was one of the awful crimes of the fall, that Eve did not encourage Adam to keep the law of God. She encouraged Adam to break the law of God as she had done. And so she was breaking the second table as well as the first table of the law. Now, why did God not reveal all Ten Commandments to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden at the beginning? Because in that state of innocence, they did not really need the Ten Commandments, because as unfallen people, they wouldn't be stealing, they wouldn't be killing, they wouldn't be lying, not until they fell. Now, as long as they were in that state of innocence, there was no need to have the written out moral law of God. Because when God created man, you read in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's turn back there for a moment. Romans 2, verses 14 and 15. That is very clear about the law of God being written in the heart and the conscience of every person. Romans chapter 2, my pages are well stuck together. Okay. Romans 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, didn't have any copies before the gospel reached the Gentiles. The Jews had the law. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Well, what does he mean? He explains it in the next verse, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. These are Gentiles, heathen people, naturally have the law of God written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing. But we have a problem. As fallen human beings, the conscience does not just accuse us. The conscience rationalizes and excuses us at times. So, since Adam's fall, our connection with him by nature, the writing of the law on our hearts has been terribly darkened and distorted. And it is in such a thing now that this natural revelation in the mind and in the heart of man is not adequate. It's not sufficient to guide our consciences. You've heard people say, let your conscience be your guide. Well, the problem is the conscience is fallen with the rest of us. And the conscience will accuse us, thank God. As long as your conscience is not seared and you can still feel bad and convicted and guilty about sin, your conscience is still active and it's accusing you. But that conscience, you cannot trust it. It is not the total guide for our lives, because that conscience will also make excuses. Well, if they hadn't done this to me, I wouldn't have. You ever heard that before? Have you ever said that? If you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. So I'm I'm not so guilty. You're guilty too. Okay. Well, we need the whole Word of God. It is the Word of God that gives us light. Psalm 119, verse 105, you know it well. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We must have the revealed will of God. You notice that? What is in verse in our catechism, number 39, what is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. He has revealed his will in his word. And now here in number 92, which is the same as number 40, let's say this one more time together. We're almost done. Number 92 or number 40, what did God at first reveal unto man as the rule of his obedience? Okay. The rule of obedience revealed to Adam. That's a little bit different. Okay, so we're going to do it in the shorter catechism, and then we'll do it in the larger catechism. Okay, number 40. What did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? The rule which God at first revealed to man for his obedience was the moral law. Now, that's not completely everything that's in number 92. If you have number 92, what did God at first reveal to man for the rule of his obedience? The rule of obedience revealed to Adam in the state of innocence and to all mankind in him, besides a special command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was the moral law. Well, that's quite extended. I thought they were the same, but they're not exactly. Now, in salvation, we have been given much. And the Lord Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much will be required. And we have been bought with the price of Christ's blood. So we are obligated to glorify God in our body and in our spirit because we belong to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We must glorify God. Not only with our spirit within, but with our body as well. It's important what we do outwardly as well as what we think inwardly. We belong to Him. We are obligated to Him with a double obligation as believers. Not just because we are His creatures, but also because we are a part of the new creation. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus.